AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Welcome to the Sinclair Paranormal Investigation Agency. Episode 4, The Dark Star, Part 1. So I want to start with, what is your guys' morning routine before you head into work? Are you like a roll out of bed and go, hair a mess, clothes disheveled? Do you like get ready? We can start with Matthew.
I'd say my early morning routine is I've kind of been on my own for a while and kind of been pretty self-reliant for a good portion of my life, despite my young age. And so I'm used to, you know, setting alarms for myself, getting, you know, and I've worked a lot of really odd jobs. So like I've been willing to wake up early or late or whatever. And so I get up, I'm very methodical. I go through and I check to make sure all of my gear is in order. I have a very light breakfast, and I, you know, as I walk out the door, I throw something at, or you know, as I prepare to walk out the door, I throw something at you know, my roommate to make sure that she's awake.
Yeah, wait a minute. Your routine is now fucked up because I'm in your house now. I'm sure you wake up at the early of the morning and I'm already drinking, I don't know. I'm drinking vape juice in the morning like it's coffee.
Yeah, so Brittany, you drink your beet juice? Is that what you just said?
I said vape juice.
Oh, vape juice. I was like, I didn't know Brittany was the health type drinking some beet juice in the morning.
Honestly, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. Like, I get my like horrifying Patrick Bateman green shake in the morning and I'm like, no, my skin. You'd understand. I don't know. I guess I wasn't thinking about it, but I was like, oh man, Matthew Rose Sorensen. He's like an independent guy, but now he's like living with the worst roommate in the universe.
You're up so early that Matthew doesn't even know if you ever went to sleep.
Yeah. Sure.
So what about you, Sean?
Yeah, I get up. I go for a quick jog, do a little calisthenics, take a shower, have some black coffee for breakfast, and then I head on out. I definitely don't like lay in bed and hit snooze or anything.
And what about you, James?
I'm an early riser. I leave my little tiny studio apartment and I head to a nearby cafe. I get a coffee and a little croissant, and I then walk over to the library and I start my research there before heading to work on the subway.
Nice. All right, so you guys enter the office and you find it empty. The Annabelle seems to be out of the office right now. Your presence in the office the last week has made it feel much more alive. The cobwebs and dust are gone and the bathroom is slightly clean. The room has a coffee smell, mainly due to the overuse of the coffee machine. And Annabelle did warn you she would be out on a mission of her own this week, and she left you a sticky note stuck to a newspaper on the desk. So you all crowd in around the sticky note, and it says, "Great work on your first week on the job. Matthew, you've shown me you have tough skin, and James, great work on getting out there on your own and investigating the College of Art. That's the kind of passion I was looking for. Today's job is very important. And it's something I've been waiting for a good group of people to take on. So don't let me down, and I'll see you in a few weeks."
I'll look over, I'll say, like, Okay, she puts us through the worst experience of her entire lives, and then she abandons us for a week, and I kind of like take a step back, and you see a jitter in my foot, or in my hand shakes a little bit, and I grab it with my other one to hold it steady.
Yeah, James, you do see an envelope next to the newspaper that you presume to be your guys' weekly pay of 2 medium items.
God, I wish I got paid by 2 like medium and large items just in the real world.
Is that on top of living expenses, or do we need
to? That's on top of living expenses, any travel for the job, and food.
Damn.
I'm pretty sure it was 2 medium-priced items.
I think it's 3, because that's what I wrote down on mine. Yeah.
Okay. Well, it can be 3. I don't remember.
Maybe I missed this, but where's our assignment? Is there like another board with our
assignment? So underneath the sticky note is a newspaper, and when you look at the newspaper, you see that it has a red Sharpie circling an article, and Annabelle has added exclamation points and smiley faces all around the circle, and it reads, 4 people missing, presumed dead. The Maxwell family farm is now permanently closed due to an incident which trapped hundreds of people in their corn maze, many of which were saved when the police showed up and ushered them out of the maze. However, 4 people are unaccounted for and believed to be killed when the owner set the field ablaze on the night of August 16th.
He actually set it on fire? I thought we stopped that.
The alleged killer is one Rick Maxwell, who claims he burned down the farm due to an evil presence. He claims that a company named the Sinclair Paranormal Investigation Group were the ones who saved the people. Did Maxwell unknowingly kill these people, or was it a planned murder? Who is this investigation group? Did they have a hand in this plot?
I kind of sigh and say, oh, God. National tension already. What paper was this posted in?
It's like a local paper. It's not that big.
Well, obviously, I feel like we need to call a press conference immediately.
Or people still missing.
Is our boss gone because she doesn't want to answer the questions of the police?
That bastard.
I skimmed the article. Did they find like bodies? Are people missing or dead?
That's the entire article. It's not a huge portion of the paper.
All right, we gotta contact this reporter, guys, and find out who his sources are.
Or people presumed dead.
Yeah, but we wanted to, I mean, obviously we know who they are. It's those scarecrows we killed, remember?
Oh my God, I'm a murderer.
We need to know if they have any evidence or if they're just saying they're missing.
And then one of you notices that the computer is on with the email open, and there's an email pulled up on it.
I look over and see that James Ritter is reading the email.
Yeah, I'm reading that email.
Yeah, so the email goes, my name is Arden Willard. If you haven't spoken to me in person within the next few days, it's because I'm dead. I did something stupid, and now I'm going to pay for it. I don't want to just vanish, though. As crappy of a place this is, at least it has a few bars of cell service. I saw your number online. I really wish you had answered the phone. I tried calling the police, but they wouldn't make it in time. Let me tell you my story. I've been going to school for reporting. I always wanted to be a reporter, chasing the big stories, getting my name out there as the man who cracked some big cases. But I couldn't really afford to go to any of the big schools, and I wasn't very good at writing. I just loved the chase. Regardless, I got into a small school and began my way through the curriculum. I am a third year, and in class they wanted us to all try and get a story about something we feel passionately about. I opted to dig into any cults nearby. I started with some mundane Christian offshoots, but none of them were doing anything out of the ordinary to merit a full investigation. It was halfway through the project, and I hadn't hardly gotten anything. That was until my girlfriend told me about her roommate. She may have actually joined a cult. They don't talk much, so she didn't notice until her roommate started straight up asked her to join. Apparently, this cult has to do with darkness. It's funny, Amber has been complaining that the light bulbs keep going out in her apartment. Turns out, it was her freaky roommate unscrewing them. Her roommate told her that she could go to the old church and napped off if she wanted to see the true power of the darkness. Amber obviously said no and hasn't spoken to her roommate since, but when she told me it was like fate had gifted me an amazing project, her roommate was surely involved with some group of weirdos who met in an abandoned church in the woods. Perfect story to get a massive win on the project. I packed up a little backpack of supplies and a knife to be safe and headed out to the church. When I got there, there was no cars in the lot, no sign of anybody nearby. After going inside, I found only a ruined church. Had this roommate been crazy? Maybe this wasn't the right church? I wish. As I poked around, I found a trapdoor. It was unlocked, and I opened it, and it led down a dark tunnel. Excitedly, I hopped right inside. Inside was what appeared to be a maze of sorts, and this was going to make a great story. An old church with a maze hidden underneath, with a freaky cult doing some kind of rituals for who knows what. I began to wander, taking pictures as I went. I came upon Dead End and saw a pile of eyeballs. I think they were props from the dollar store, but it freaked me out nonetheless. As I continued on, I began to hear chanting. I got my phone out and began to record. I turned the corner and saw a group of cloaked figures chanting around an altar. Atop the altar was this dark orb. It looked weird. Unfortunately, I stumbled slightly trying to get the right angle and they noticed. They all turned at once and pointed at me, and that's when a wave of force pushed me to the ground. My phone's light went out and it wouldn't come back on. Scared out of my mind, I ran and ran through those halls in the darkness. After making a turn, the ground left from underneath me and I fell. I don't know how far, but I think I messed up my leg pretty bad. I can't see anything but a little bit illuminated by my phone. I should have told Amber where I was going. The police answered and said they would have someone on their way, but for some reason I can't imagine them finding me. Please make sure my story doesn't go to waste. Do your anti-freak show stuff and destroy this church. Tell Amber I'm sorry. Better to tell her I was killed or kidnapped. She always said I'd get myself killed playing detective, and it looks like she was right. And then next to the email is like a little notepad that seems like Annabelle has written in, and she says, I checked the police reports from around these dates, and there was a unit dispatched to the church in Napdoff. They reportedly found nothing except a vacant car registered to one Maxwell Willard, presumed Arden's father. A missing person report was filed for Arden the next day by one Amber Witherspoon. A search was conducted in the area around the church, but nothing was found. The investigation is ongoing. I know how the police investigate things like this, and they don't usually want to get their hands dirty, hence why I have not come forward with any info. It's more likely they would have just had the church demolished rather than searched, and we need to collect that dark orb he speaks of. I'm not 100% sure, but I presume it to be the Dark Star, an artifact of immense power. It is imperative that we get this orb and that it remains out of the hands of the ignorant police or these cultists who appear to be worshipping it. I don't know what it exactly does, but I do know it was referenced in some reports saying it was, quote, the catalyst for a world without light. I didn't think it actually existed, but after hearing them, it makes me worried.
All right. Do we have an address for this church?
You do.
What are you guys thinking? Should we call them and see if let's try the number first before we just go burning down churches?
Is it worth getting involved if people are just going to die from what we do?
Let's all go home and kick it up. What are you thinking, man? We got a job to do.
Do you think we kill those people?
Quick, somebody tell me his name again. I already forgot.
Matthew Willard. Maxwell Willard.
Maxwell Willard was the father of Arden Willard.
And then Arden Willard is the boy.
The guy Arden tried to call us, so we have his number on, you know.
Yeah, yeah. There's a message on your phone that says it has a similar tone to this message, but is rather short. You can call the number back if you'd like.
We're calling Arden Willard. Yeah, I'll call Arden Willard's number.
So it just rings and rings and rings and then goes to voicemail.
All right, what's the voicemail say? Is it like a funny voicemail or is it like a serious voicemail?
It's actually one of the ones where it's like, this person does not have their voicemail set up yet.
Oh, this is that kind of guy. He's a millennial, guys. All right.
I posted the address in the addresses chat. The address was linked with some of Annabelle's pre-investigation that she had done. It's clear that she's been studying this one for a little bit now.
And Naptoft over in Lutterworth. Well, that's not too far. I mean, we do live in the UK. It only takes like 10 minutes to get side to side. Do you guys want to go check it out?
Yeah, sure.
I don't know if we have to be more careful.
Well, here's what we're going to do. Okay, I've thought this out. We're all gonna dress up with black slacks and white shirts and black ties. We're gonna show up on bicycles.
Fun.
We'll knock on the door and we'll say, "Do you have a moment to talk about Jesus Christ?"
Yeah.
I don't know if people really do that in the UK.
Well, I live in the UK and I see it all the time.
Yeah, he would know.
Is that gonna make the club? Is that gonna make the cult like us more or less? Like, are they gonna be like, "No"? Competition, and they're going to kill us immediately.
Well, either way, we're going to get some answers.
Couldn't we just go dressed in dark? Wait a minute. This guy, Arden, says that they were dressed wearing cloaks. We should wear dark cloaks and be like, "Oh, we're part of you guys, man." And then they won't kill us. Just like, I don't know, You just said that they were wearing dark cloaks.
Yeah, they were wearing dark cloaks.
Yeah, just like, let's get some cloaks.
So while we're discussing this, I also go over to the computer and I do a Google search for Dark Star Orb.
Dark Star Orb. You don't find anything online about this Dark Star.
I can buy it on Amazon.
I don't see an entry from League of Legends about how the Dark Star is a powerful entity. It's not a consumed galaxy.
Maybe you do if that is something that exists.
Okay, but I don't think this has anything to do with it, guys. It's from a video game.
Or maybe they knew.
All right. So what are we thinking? We want to go over there as, like, you know, door-to-door salesmen? We want to try to... I don't think we should try to look like them. They're going to know we're not part of their group right away when we don't know the secret handshakes and stuff.
Yeah, I think that's a misguided approach. I mean, we can try to get as much information as we can afar. But as far as, I think we got to have a little bit more to go off of before we try to impersonate them.
Well, we should show us people who are, like, curious. We're like, "We heard about your amazing cult. We want to join."
No, you can't call it a cult. Well, rule number one is a cult never calls itself a cult.
So as you guys are in the room is your usual box with various tools and supplies in it. And Annabelle made it clear last time you could take anything out of that if you wanted. And then don't forget that you do have money. So if you did want to buy something like cloaks, you can always swing by like Walmart.
I know I have a torch or flashlight, as the Yanks call it. But for my new item, I go and I buy like just the most ridiculously bright flashlight I can find. Like, I mean, okay, the blinding.
Like a 10,000 lumen.
Like, no, like a 10 million. Okay. Like, you know, it would light up a football field, this thing, okay? And I make sure it's charged up and ready to go. That's one of my my new moderately priced items.
Is that moderately priced? I feel like there's a chance that that's kind of expensive.
No, you think that's expensive?
I don't know, like a 10 million lumen flashlight might be a few hundred bucks.
Maybe instead you get one of those lasers.
You know, oh, I could get one of those. Okay, I'll tell you what. Well, that's like, okay, it's 20, it's 30 bucks. That's okay. Moderately priced.
Yeah, that's moderately priced. You can have one.
They advertise it as 20 million or 10 million. I'm not sure it really is, guys. I played with it, but it is really bright. I will say that. And it has all these modes. So you hit this button and it flashes really fast to try to spaz you out.
No. Just make sure you drop one of your moderately priced items off.
I'm going to buy a pack of flares.
Okay.
And a flare gun.
I assume the flare gun would come with several flares if you wanted to just make it one item.
Part of my thought process was, I didn't know if you wanted on multiple items, like, because I want handheld flares, but I also want flares I can shoot from a gun.
Yes, that would be two. I thought you were just wanting ones that shoot from the gun. Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay, so this guy, Maxwell, he called us / the police while he was in these tunnels, and he said that he did technically have some cell service while in the tunnel, so...
So Arden Willard was the one who called. His father's name is Maxwell Willard.
Okay, whatever. Arden,
the only reason Maxwell was mentioned was because it was the car that was left there was registered to Maxwell Willard.
Julio. Okay, so I don't know enough about technology in general, but is there anything that exists in the world that could, like, help boost a signal, sort of like... Like, is there, like, anything that you could buy that, like, sort of helps artificially boost something's signal so, like, we could be slightly safer if we are down there, that we could get signal?
I have seen videos of thieves using signal amplificators to try to steal cars.
Yeah, there, is that a thing? Is that a thing I could buy?
I think it probably is. I'm not sure how much it would cost, but let's just say it's a medium-priced item.
Yeah, it says that it's $35.99.
There you go.
You can get it at Walmart. What the hell?
Yeah, get yourself one of those.
Yeah.
Heck yeah.
They have them. The real ones are $5.50.
Like the fancy ones, not the like cheap Amazon ones.
Here's one that works for all major carriers for $370.
Well, I'm going to get that one then. I'm just going to put it under my expensive one.
Okay.
But I know I don't have any more expensive stuff. Oh, well.
Here's one for $140. $140, it's got 4 stars.
Hey, okay, I'm going to get that one.
That $140 is about a moderately priced, so you could pull that one off.
Can I buy like some climbing rope?
Sure.
Okay, I'm going to get that.
Once again, you know, a few $100 might not get you the best climbing rope in the world, but it'll do the job.
I don't know, like, what else do we... Charging block? I feel like that's a thing that people already have.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I'm good.
All right.
We're good.
So how are we... Are we just going to drive over there and knock on the door, or are we going to dress up in some sort of way?
I don't know. I feel like going there as proselytizers is just going to make them... us as competition. We can't go there dressed in cloaks because you're right, they're just going to know that we're not actually part of it. But I think that we should go there with the idea that if we I feel like if we go there dressed in like a similar sort of outfit and we sort of present ourselves as people who've like, we've heard about you and we're at the very church where this happened and we want to be part of whatever you're doing, I feel like that maybe allow us to get in on the inside.
Exactly. You and Matthew go in the front door and do that. We'll sneak in the back door.
No, that's a great idea, though. That's a much better. That's a good idea. Like, we need to take 2 separate cars. One of you guys needs to take in and go the long way around. Scout out the area.
Sean, you're probably more of a people person than I am. Maybe I could sneak around back. I'd be more willing to do that.
We only have 1 car.
I have a motorcycle.
I can. Oh, there you go.
I got a ride.
In Britain, you can just walk places.
You know, Matthew, of all the stupid things you've done, and then you go and do this and totally redeem yourself.
Thank you.
Matthew, does it feel like you finally have a father figure in Sean?
That's cutting way too deep.
That's silence.
So Sean and James are going in the van, the Sinclair van?
Yeah, we're going in the van.
And then Brittany and Matthew are taking the bike.
Sure.
Alright, and we're driving, and we're going straight to the front door.
Okay. So, you, Sean, and James are on your way there, and it's probably about, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes, England's small, and you see a large cemetery, and there's an old rundown church very far back. It's not like a well-kept cemetery, it's like an old one. The gate's kind of rusty and swinging open, and so you're able to kind of just drive through this old gate. You don't like have to hit it, it's like swinging well open.
As we go through the cemetery, I'm looking to see if anything looks like freshly moved, like dirt wise.
It doesn't look like anyone's dug anything in the cemetery in decades.
Okay.
And you continue your way down the long road down the middle of the cemetery, and you pull up to the front of this church. And there's some, like, waving crime scene tape that's long since been broken. The place seems rather quiet and empty. At the same time, Brittany and Matthew are coming in. Maybe you guys park on the fence of the cemetery in the back and leave the motorcycle and hop the fence and come up to the back of the church. I guess that's up to you.
I mean, I think I'd park it far enough away that it's not, you know, too far away that we can't get to it if something goes bad. But yeah, mm-hmm. I guess by the cemetery.
So, yeah, so you guys are creeping up through the cemetery up to the back of the church.
So I say to James, because James is with me, right? Say to James, hey, it's a good thing before we left we told them that we're going to knock on this door at exactly 10:02 a.m. so they know when the distraction starts. You remember when I told him that, Dr.
Yeah.
James? Yeah. Okay, and I look at my clock, and we're walking up, and it's like, 10:01 in like 15 seconds. So I walk up to the door. Now wait a second. I'm like, we're gonna be precise here.
Yeah, so you're looking at this large church, and it's got this steeple that sticks up from it that clearly used to be an active bell tower. And the entire outside of the church is this worn down paint. There's some vines growing up it, some lichen is growing on it, and the door is big and heavy and wooden, and it looks like it's rotting a little bit, but the water hasn't damaged it too much.
All right, so I go up to the door. And I look, is there a knocker?
There is like a knocker on it, yes.
So I knock it to see if anyone will answer, and then I...
Maybe we can cut back to Matthew and Brittany. So you guys are coming up the backside of this church. On the backside, you see a big flat wall, similar vines and lichen growing on it, weathered, heavily weathered. And there's kind of like a pile of junk out back. Looks like it used to be like a spot where... people would dump old bikes and tires and things like that. And you come around the backside, and all the windows are either cracked or broken in, and it looks pretty old and messed up.
Hey, does this pile of stuff, is anything in there kind of like new-ish looking? Does anything look like, I don't know, maybe someone who went missing recently, or anyone who might have like... I don't know, does any of it like look recent or suspicious or anything like that?
Nothing really looks suspicious out of it. There may be like a tire that one may not have thought was fully used, but most of it's just kind of junk that's been tossed out. I mean, there's a bunch of trash bags that you can't really tell what's in them.
While Brittany is looking around, I'm clearly distracted, and my mind doesn't seem to really be on the investigation at hand. I look at her and I say, you think we'll actually like see anything that we saw last week? You think something like that's down here?
I kind of like sigh. I'm like, oh, man, you know, with a kind of sigh that says I'm dealing with someone who's actively losing their mind and probably shouldn't be here, but he's all we got. I kind of take him by the shoulder. I'm like, listen, whatever we see down there, we're going to die one day and it'll be fine.
What?
I take him by both shoulders and I look him in the eyes and I'm like, listen, you have the chance to do something amazing here. There are people down there who need you. Now listen here, you're a big old nerd and you hate the unknown, but guess what? The unknown's come over here and it's wagging its dick in your face. So it's time. Go down there, save that other loser. It'll be fine, you're gonna die one day, it's cool.
I look wildly uncomfortable, but at the same time, a weird sort of light enters my eyes and my hands stop shaking as much. They're still shaking. But I look to the side still and I say, well, I guess I better start looking then. Helping, I quietly pick through the area and I wait for the aforementioned time that was set to me by Sean.
Yeah, so we'll cut back to Sean now. He saw that there's a knocker on the door and he's looking at it intently.
And I knock it loudly. Bang, bang, bang.
You wait for a few minutes and you don't hear anything.
Okay, I really knock it loud. Like, I mean, I'm like, well, bam. Like, I'm like, if this knocker is not going to, I'm going to see if it'll break. I'm hitting it so hard.
Yeah, so James, as Sean is bashing this knocker on the door, he bashes it so hard that the knocker does fly off. It was already pretty close to breaking. James, you look through the door and you see that there are broken pews lying all over. The altar at the center of the church looks to be burned. And the walls of the church are old and rickety. And there's even one interior wall that has kind of collapsed. And the wind howls around outside, making an odd sound as it makes its way in and out of the church in the various holes and windows.
Sean, this place looks pretty abandoned. I'm not sure we're going to attract any attention.
I look into and I see what you just described. I'm like, all right, no problem. So I go in. At first, I just try the door to see if it's locked.
The door is unlocked.
Okay, so I just open the door, yeah. Walk in.
Yes, so you see a similar sight as just described as you walk in, and the floor kind of creaks underneath you as you walk.
I exercise, like, moderate caution like you would in an old building. Yeah. Like, you know, I'm looking around to make sure I don't step on something weird or something.
For sure.
But at the same time, I'm not, like, super, like, worried about it. All right. Well, what did he say? He went down and found some catacombs, right?
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure. He said he found a trap door that led to a dark tunnel. All
right. Well, let's try to find that. Yeah. Let's go find them. They're going to be coming in the back.
So Brittany and Matthew, you see through the broken windows you were waiting behind that Sean and James have walked into the church, and there seems to be no one around.
We just wave him over because we can see him looking through the window, right?
If you're perceptive enough. No, yeah.
I roll a 20 for perception.
Beautiful. Yeah, you see them. You see the fear in Matthew's eyes as you look at him through the window.
But the glimmer of hope deep.
But the glimmer of hope deep inside that fear.
So do they come in? Do you guys come in?
Yeah.
Do they successfully make it through their door?
they go through the front door with you where you went as well.
Perfect. All right, guys, we need to find this trap door that old Arden Willard was talking about.
I am going to go ahead and use one of my follow the trail abilities.
Okay.
I will attempt to find a specific person, and I can apply a free level of effort to do so. So I'll start to try to track them.
Sure, that sounds good. Is this the one where you have to roll a level 4?
No, this one just says when you apply effort to a perception or tracking task because you are attempting to find a specific person, you can apply a free level of effort.
Sounds good. Yeah, so go ahead and make me a level 4 tracking task. Mm-hmm. And since you're getting free level of effort, then it will be a level 3.
Okay. And does my...
Oh, you have a tracking training as well. So we'll call it a level 2. So DC 6.
All right. I'll go ahead and roll. I rolled an 18.
Beautiful. Yeah, so you see... So you remember that in the email... No, I forgot his name. Arden said that he had seen little carvings on the wood. Did he say that? He might not have said that. We're going to say that he said that because he rolled so well.
Yep.
He saw little carvings on the wood, and you notice these carvings as well. And they kind of, they're on the floor and they're on the side of a pew. And these little carvings look like a closed eye, like a curved line with some straight lines coming off of it, like a closed eye with eyelashes. And you follow these little carvings on the ground as they make their way across the church floor. And then you see a big, wet, soggy rug. And underneath this rug, there's a little bit of a bulge that you suspect may be the trapdoor that Arden was talking about.
Cool. Before we go down there, does anyone think it's a good idea to try to check the father's car? See if there's anything going there?
You would know that when you pulled in, the father's car was no longer there.
Oh, okay. Never mind then.
It seems like it's been a week or two, maybe, since this incident happened. The police have done their investigation and since gone and taken the car with them.
Gotcha. All right, well, IDO. I scoot the rug over and open the hatch.
Yeah, so you try to open the hatch, but there was a big, fat metal padlock on it. You would know this wasn't mentioned in Arden's email.
Hmm. Oh, strange. I guess I'll go ahead and try to lockpick it with my lockpicking kit.
Yeah, go ahead. Make me a level 3 lockpicking check. Or level 2, since you're trained in it. So DC 6 again.
I rolled a 19.
Beautiful. Yep, so you actually get a minor effect with a 19. So you go and you perfectly lockpick the lock. And when you...
Even the jitters in my hand can't stop me.
Yeah. Yeah, you're able to lockpick this lock, and it's miraculously quiet. Like, I don't think anyone, even if they were right on the other side of the trapdoor, would have heard you unlock this lock.
Very nice.
See, hey, that's what I'm talking about. You're doing good, man.
Do you think the cultists might not be in here any longer? Maybe they locked it up as they left. The reason why it was unlocked for our friend was because they were in there.
Maybe. I think we should be really quiet, though, just in case.
I reach over and just, like, go for a high five. Like, I reach my hand back and I go for a high five after the lock picking.
I do a silent high five.
Boom.
Or you tickle his hand a little bit? Is that what you're doing?
Yeah, tickle. Yeah. And then I'm like, I indicate, I put my finger like on my lips, like shh, like the shush noise, like everyone be quiet. And then I like, we very, like all of us together, very slowly and carefully lifting the door, being careful not to make any rattling noises.
Man, I expected him to pull his gun out when he put his finger on his mouth and shoot it in the sky or something.
That is how we usually celebrate here in England.
Yeah, so you're able to open up this trap door fairly quietly, and it you set it down, and there's a like a ladder leading down into a dark pit below you.
Yum. Did we bring headlamps? I feel like we should have done that.
Well, I have two flashlights with me, a really bright one and a normally bright one.
Well, I whip out, and I think this is the first time I've used this so far, I whip out my night vision goggles.
Ooh.
Smart.
Ooh, nice.
So Muriel, just so you're aware of all of the things that you're capable of doing in this game, if you did want to say that everyone had headlamps, you could always spend 2 XP for a player intrusion in retcon. You don't have to; it's your XP to spend however you want.
I know, but the thing is, I'm just like bigger that you know resources are going to get destroyed because the evil dark orb is going to ruin everything, like it did in the email. So. And I just, like, I have a moderately priced item that I haven't filled out yet. Can I just say it's a headlamp?
Yeah, you've got a headlamp.
Is that reasonable?
Yep. You nice. Got a headlamp.
Before we shine our headlamps down there and make it very obvious we're all here, I have snuck around places that perhaps I haven't, you know, shouldn't have been before. Let me... you know, with my night vision goggles, sneak, take a little head, and then if the way is clear, what I'll do is I'll throw a pebble in the direction. So if you hear a pebble bouncing down the hallway, you'll know you can come.
I love it. Yes, we'll stand here.
Yeah, so Matthew, as you descend down the rickety wooden ladder, you see that the basement is a damp stone corridor. And it's very dark, but you can. There's only a little bit of light creeping in from the trapdoor above, and you put on your night vision goggles, and you look down the hallway, and you see a long hallway stretching out in front of you. It's this like cobblestone brick, and then to your right, there's another little hallway that goes and seems to turn to the left, and you don't see anything in these hallways.
A hallway on my right that turns to the left, so it goes like right and then left, you mean?
Yep.
Okay. I go straight.
Yeah, so you continue straight, and when you get to, you continue straight and you see the wall in front of you, and then there's a turn to the right.
I turn right?
Yep, you head right, and then there's another turn to the left, and then you come up across a T where one leads to the left, and then to the left again, and the one on your right leads to the right, and then to the left.
Okay, well, I guess at this rate, I will walk back the way I came, and relay exactly what I found to the rest of the group.
Sure, you do that.
And I say, so guys, looks like, yeah, there truly is some kind of maze. Or before, I should note, am I continuing to track it, like our wannabe reporter, or do I have to re-roll that?
You would have to re-roll that tracking task.
Okay. So I'm gonna look at them and say, all right, this is what I found. It does look like some sort of labyrinth. Before you guys come, I'm gonna go back down there and see if I can find any trace of where he went. If I can't find any trace, then we should all just go down there, lights or no. How does that sound?
Sounds good.
Groovy, don't get lost.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll go down the ladder once again, and I will search for traces of Ardent.
Yeah, so I'm going to need you to make a level 6 tracking task.
Okay.
So you're trained, so that's going to be level 5.
Mm-hmm. And then my ability, which goes down to a 4.
Does your ability cost anything?
No, it just says gives me a free level of effort.
It doesn't say 1 intellect or anything like that?
Nope.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, that's good. So then that'll make it down to a level 4. So DC 12.
I am willing to spend another point of effort.
So that will be, since you have an intellect edge, 2 intellect points.
Okay.
And then that will make it a level 3, so DC 9.
Sure. I'll go ahead and try to make that roll. And I rolled a 6.
Oh, man. Yeah, so you go to try and look for any traces, and maybe you see a pair of footprints, but then they go both directions, and they come back on each other. Maybe Arden wasn't so sure where he was going either, and the trail is messy, and you can't pick up fully which way he went.
Sure. They go back to the bottom of the ladder, and he said, I whisper, say, all right, guys, the trail's impossible to follow. I think we're just going to have to brute force this maze.
My favorite thing, brute force. Let's do it.
So I'm like, okay, let's do it. And I go down as well.
Yeah, so you all go down the ladder, and I want to know your marching order. Is Matthew in front still?
Sure.
And then who wants to take up the rear? Who's taking up the rear in the group?
I'll do it.
All right. So we've got Matthew, and then Sean or James is in the middle, and then Brittany's taking up the rear. And we've got, like mentioned before, there's a corridor on the right that then turns to the left, and then there's a corridor straight ahead of you that turns to the right.
So there's one that goes left and one that goes right. It's a corridor, and it goes either way.
You guys notice that your flashlights, although working to illuminate the room, they don't seem to penetrate the darkness very far, as if there's some sort of fog in these corridors that kind of stamps your light out at distance.
Is there any possible way that my headlamp is actually like one of those old-timey headlamps where it's just like literally like a gas lamp? Is that not being like affected by the evil? Is fire affected, basically, is what I'm trying to say?
Well, you do have a lighter. You could test it, but like you can't. Your headlamp could be that if you wanted it to be.
Okay, I'm just kind of curious. Like, does fire also get affected by like the evil darkness, or is it just like electricity?
I see her fiddling, and I pull out my lighter and I light it to see, because I see in her eyes that she's wondering.
So you hold your lighter up and you kind of hold it up to the wall up in the corner, and you look your headlamp away to see if the light travels further with the fire, and it doesn't seem to travel any differently than the light from your headlamps, although much dimmer because it's a lighter.
In order to avoid getting lost, we can use something called the right-hand rule, where we just always follow the maze as if we have our right hand against the wall. Of course, if we ever need to retreat, we all won't have to memorize the way back. We'll just need to use the left-hand rule to get back.
I feel like we should definitely be leaving marks or something along the wall. Like, I don't know, like, what did we do to keep ourselves sane during the whole corn maze terrible thing?
Well, I was just using my memory, but I understand that it's not particularly reasonable for everyone.
Yeah, so I don't know, we should write things down. We should write down the directions that we go. We have notebooks. You carry notebooks with you, don't you, Jim?
Yes, I do. I can, you know, I have a very good memory. I can draw a different symbol in each intersection, and I will memorize the intersection.
Last time, we almost died in a corn maze because you couldn't remember. So maybe just write it down on a piece of paper, Jim. What's wrong with paper? Do you have something against it? What'd your parents do to you?
Sounds good. So which way would you like to go first? Straight and to the right, or to the right and then to the left?
go, I say right.
Yeah, we'll go right.
Yeah, so you guys head to the right, and you are going to turn to the right, and then turn again to the left, and then once more to the left, and you see a dead end in front of you. But as soon as you turn the corner and you shine your flashlight down to this dead end, you see a cloaked figure standing in the distance, and he's chanting, and as soon as the light hits him, he disappears into the fog and darkness.
Is he do we don't see which way he goes? He just like disappears.
He just kind of the light like almost sucks back into your flashlight, and then he's gone when it re-extends.
Matthew, did you see where he went?
I don't know. Maybe I was watching. Did I?
So if you with your night vision goggles on, it's does night like I've not played with night vision goggles. When you have like flashlights on, does it make it so you can't see out of them, or is it just does it switch?
Yeah, so the night vision goggles, they use I think infrared, so it's just using a different light wavelength.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so he would have seen this person was there, and then they were gone, almost in an instant.
Magic.
Maybe his mind's playing tricks on him. It was a hallucination, but you all saw.
We've gone too far. We know that it's not a hallucination. We saw evil Korn.
Well, surely he might have just. We should check for any secret passageway or like a hatch or somewhere he could have escaped to.
Yes, I mean something's happening because you know, like obviously something strange isn't. There was probably some mold in the cornfield that was causing us to see things. So,
Matthew, no.
Sure, we're here to ask you some questions. And I try to get his attention.
Yeah, so there. It's just an empty dead end now.
Oh, okay.
Sean's all right. Distracted.
Sean, like, let's go the other way, guys.
Well, so before you guys leave, James does go to the core or go to the dead end where this person was and feel around on the walls, look for any kind of trapdoor, pushing on stones, and there seems to be nowhere that this man could have gone. It's completely sealed, just like all the corridors around you. There's nothing special.
I suppose we can continue the right hand rule, walking backwards now.
Yeah, so if you continue the right-hand rule, you'll walk back, you'll be back where you started, and you'll go to the right, follow down that long corridor, and then you'll take another right.
Continue to mark the intersections.
Yep. Yeah. And you continue to follow the right-hand rule. You get to that T that Matthew saw originally, and you head to the right, and then there's a short path and a left, and then there's a long path to the left that ends in another dead end. And at the end of this corridor... Sorry, little retcon because I forgot. Matthew, since you're leading the group, you're going to take one stress from seeing that dark man.
Gotcha. Dark men kind of scare you, Matthew?
They might.
James is now leading the group, and you turn the corner down to this long corridor, and at the end of it, you see a kneeling man, and he's completely naked. And there are two other men standing on either side of him, and they're pouring what appears to be boiling blood on him. And he screams echo down the hallway, and then the figures all vanish after your lights touch them for a few seconds, similarly to before. And you're going to take one stress as well.
Sean, did you see where they went?
Dude, it looks like they went nowhere. I say they're running from our lights, so how about we turn off the lights?
Just plunge ourselves in darkness.
I would prefer, at this rate, with what I just saw, I think I appreciate them fleeing from the light.
Gotcha. What'd you see?
Can you shoot them?
I don't know. It was two men in the black robes, and it looks like they were boiling blood on someone. I don't know if it was Arden or. But it looks like they were torturing.
What about the blood made it look like it was boiling?
I saw like heavy steam coming off of it, I suppose.
You're sure it wasn't just like carbonated blood?
It could have been.
Gotcha. All right, well, I'm at a loss, guys. We could just go get some kerosene, fill this whole tunnel system up with a flammable gas and light it up.
Fire seems to be the solution to most of these problems.
We potentially are in over our heads here. I don't know if we want to keep going or if this is too much. It seems like this place is more dangerous than anything we've seen yet.
Let's go back upstairs and see if we can find any clues, because I don't see any clues down here.
Arden is somewhere down in here. I don't...
We're probably just seeing things or something. You know, it's just that... You know, you watch too many movies about the French catacombs or something. It's just getting to you. We'll probably be fine. Is there still routes left to go?
Yes, so if you continue back the way you came, you would be back at that T intersection you saw before, and you could go left instead of right.
I thought we went every way now.
No. If you keep following your right-hand rule, there's more places to go.
All right, so let's go down the other way.
Yeah, so you continue down these corridors, and James is taking note of each turn as you go, and you continue to follow your right-hand rule. And eventually you make your way down this long snaking corridor that has no other passageways off to it. And finally, while you're going down this long corridor, you run into another dead end. And this time when you turn the corner, you see a pile of eyeballs at the end of the hallway. The eyeballs are all different sizes and colors. And Brittany, this is going to cause you to take one stress.
No!
And aren't these those plastic eyeballs you talked about?
This is exactly what Arden mentioned in his message.
Yeah. I think they're fake. Hey, doctor, you should know. Go look and see if those are fake.
I don't know anything about the human body, but I can give it a shot.
You're a doctor, for Christ's sake. Go look.
Lick that eyeball. Lick it. If it's squishy, it's real. If it's not, it's not.
I'm gonna walk up to it and try to examine it if it's real or not, Jacob.
How are you examining it? I want to know details.
I'm just gonna look close to it. I'm gonna slowly approach it at first and just see if I get closer, if I can tell if it looks like it's human eyeballs or plastic or something other than that.
Yeah, so you get close to it and you notice that there are various different colored eyes, and they're even different sizes. Some are really small, some are larger, and they don't necessarily look like plastic, and there's kind of an odd smell coming off of them.
They sure seem real. Does I'm gonna poke it with the end of the eraser on a pencil.
Yeah, you poke in, it's a little squishy, and the eraser is a little sticky afterwards.
Yum.
What's the verdict? Do they look real?
Yeah, I think they do look real. Do they seem to like react in any way? Like, are they a lot?
Not at all.
How are they like attached in the wall? Are they like?
It's like a pile of them on the ground.
Oh, a pile of.
I may have misspoke when I read it, but there's like a pile of them on the ground.
Are they? Do they appear to be rotting?
No, they don't seem to be rotting at all. Almost like they're fresh.
If there's a cult that hates light, it doesn't seem unreasonable that they might be taking the eyeballs from their members or people they capture.
Yeah.
I start throwing up.
Oh. Yeah, I think that will probably cause you to take one stress.
Sean, do you have a little plastic bag or anything like that? Maybe we can identify who these came from.
Well, let's see.
Yeah, sure. I have plastic bags with me. Let's take some specimens.
Yeah. So you've got, like, what kind of plastic bags do you have, Brittany? They, like...
I have plastic bags that might have typically held cocaine, but are currently not.
Okay, got it. So you could fit about, like, two eyeballs in each cocaine bag.
And I have a lot of cocaine bags.
There are a lot of eyeballs, so you probably won't get all of them, but you can definitely package up. Let's say you can get, like, 12 eyeballs with the bags you have.
One for every single saint.
Do you have any strategy? Are you picking the big ones or the small ones or a little bit of both? What color are you preferring?
One's from the bottom, one's from the top. We're not eugenicists.
So how about we take these eyeballs and go turn them in at the police station and be like, hey, these were at the church over there.
Yes, that's what I had in mind. See if we can identify any of the victims.
Well, and if nothing else, the authorities will definitely want to take this over.
For sure. It seems like it's... this might be human criminal activity. It might be something for someone like you, Sean, but...
Well, to be clear, I'm not a police officer anymore.
I feel like at the very least, we should maybe, like, document this somehow, because last time, you know, those people had...
Oh yeah, I take a picture. I try to take a picture with my cell phone. I take a picture.
Yeah, you do.
Okay, cool. Does it turn out?
Yeah, it looks fine.
Okay, cool. I got a picture. All right, I got some proof now, or something like proof at least. All right, and do we see anything else that looks interesting, guys? I'm looking around.
You see more corridors that you could explore the direction you came. And you would know that there was turns you passed on the way back, or on the way you came from, as following the right-hand rule.
So I also use my thermal camera on my phone, and I look to see if like there's any heat signature off of any of these eyeballs.
No, there's no heat signature.
All right. So then I'm like, well, let's look down those other corridors on our way out. And I just keep following the right-hand rule and look at the first, which would be the last corridor, you know, depending on how you talk about it.
Sure. Yeah, so Matthew wipes his face off after puking all over the floor, and you all continue down the corridor that is kind of next to the one you were just in, and you keep making your way down the corridors. You do like a kind of like a zigzag motion following the right-hand rule, and you go around like kind of like a half circle, and at the end of this corridor you see a crumbling floor, and this crumbling floor drops down a decent distance, and there's you can't really tell where the bottom is, but you just kind of see this pit into darkness in front of you, and the bricks have kind of like fallen into the hole.
Can I throw something down there? I want to throw something down there.
Sure. There's some like loose rocks and stuff lying around.
All right, so we time it to see how long it takes to hit the bottom.
Sure. Yeah, it thuds at the bottom after like 1.5 seconds.
I can do that math.
Yeah, which one of us here went to college?
I did.
I think all of us here went to college, right? In the thing.
I did not.
I went to Police Academy College.
Yeah, and I didn't actually finish college. I lied earlier.
So that's about 11 meter drop.
Okay, that's too far to jump.
For sure.
Well, we got rope.
Matthew, can you look down it with your night vision goggles? There might just check if there's something down there.
Sure, yeah, I look over the edge.
Yeah, down at the bottom, you see like a pile of rubble where the floor caved in, and then you see a body lying on top of the pile of rubble, and it seems to be in not too terrible condition.
What does that mean?
Like, it's not moving. There's no heat signature coming from it, but it is, it's definitely not like just a skeleton. Like, it's like a skin, it's a body with skin.
Here's what I say we do. We tie this rope around Brittany's waist in a harness style, and then us three will lower her down. She'll check for a wallet or something, and then we'll bring her back up.
I'm so down. I got nothing left to live for anyway.
All right, you guys down?
Yeah, sure. We can do that.
All right, so I proceed to tie the rope around in a harness style.
Yeah, so you're lowering Brittany down?
Yeah, because she's the lightest one, I'm assuming.
Yep. So you lower Brittany down the hole, and you've got plenty of rope. You brought some good climbing gear. And when she gets to the bottom, it's just kind of this, I don't know, maybe like 4-foot diameter pit. And she's standing in it, and there's this body down at the bottom, and It's wearing like some long cargo pants and a black hoodie, and next to it is a cell phone laying on the ground.
I grab the cell phone. I'm extremely, extremely uncomfortable with being there, but I just, you know, I just want to get in and get out, and I already agreed to do this, so I don't want to be in it. I don't want to be a wimp. I grab the cell phone.
Yeah, you grab the cell phone, and we'll do, this is probably going to give you one stress being this close to this rotting corpse.
Yeah, that's reasonable.
I'm going to pull out my phone and try to call, was it Arden?
Arden, yeah. Yeah, so you give Arden's phone number a call, and the phone in Brittany's hand begins to ring. Many of the themes, backgrounds, lore, and characters in this podcast are based on the Magnus Archives podcast, produced by Rusty Quill. The TTRPG is produced by Monte Cook in partnership with Rusty Quill. This podcast operates under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Sharealike 4.0 International License. We hope you enjoyed this episode. Please leave a like or comment to show your appreciation.